Hour number three, Darren, Donnie, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. I thought the Vols were going to deliver the knockout punch at Auburn on Saturday afternoon. I thought they were going to get it done, just like Fury got it done Saturday night, and they could not deliver the blow. Vince Ferrara on the line with us, WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. He joins us every Monday at this time, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, I don't know how they recover from this, but I was stunned at that collapse against Auburn in the second half on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess one of the big differences is there was no white towel thrown in by Tennessee.
Nice.
But nice job in connecting you to the big event from this past weekend, like a pro. You know, what everybody's been talking about is, yeah, a lot of people were stunned because they played so well during that stretch and they built the lead up to 17, and it did not take long for Auburn to erase that. And I think that adds to the shock value of it. And then the fact that what people have been talking about is there was not a Rick Barnes timeout during that stretch. And that's what's gotten a lot of people upset. And now it's back to the contract, you know, that he got, and they should have let him go to UCLA, and you get all this stuff. I'm not saying everybody feels that way, but those that have just kind of been, you know, waiting in the background for an opportunity to pounce, to express that opinion when they were mad that he was talking to UCLA in the off season. Now they're loud and they're vocal, and it was difficult. He says, look, we weren't, you know, there's times where we have a timeout and we're in the huddle and they come out of it and they don't do what they're supposed to do. So, you know, he said he feels like he didn't think that a timeout would change anything. But, you know, it's Auburn as well. I said that during the game. Auburn has been a second-half team. They've had four of their last eight wins have been double-digit comeback wins. Going into the game, they had scored 101 more points in the second half of games than they had in the first half of games. So this was Auburn, and they were not able to extend the lead, and it really came down to Santiago Viscovi picking up his fourth foul, and then everything changed. That's when
Wait, was his fourth or the third right out of the gates in the second half that he sat down?
He did. Right. Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. That he got his third
right
there early in the second half.
Then he sat for a while. Mm-hmm.
Put him back in, and within seconds after they put him back in is when he picked up his fourth foul.
Right.
But they had extended that lead, you know, with him on the floor. He made a big difference. When they had to sit him for an extended period of time, that's when Auburn went on their run. And then when he came back, you know, it's too difficult to stop that momentum. But, you know, Barnes is upset about that Viscovi foul. But, you know, he had too many turnovers. But he did a lot of things that helped them get to that lead as well. And that's kind of the things you get with him. You get a lot of terrific plays, great passing and vision and shot making, which they desperately lack, the ability to drive. He does a lot of those things, but there's still those turnovers there. He's a freshman, but yeah, that's what the fans have been pointing to is, hey, where's the timeout? And it was an avalanche, really, when Auburn got going with those threes.
We had Tennessee-Auburn as a part of our pick six contest on Friday, and the Vols getting 6.5 points. I took Auburn, and I'm telling you, at any point, if you would have told me that Auburn would cover the game, I mean, I would have been in the floor grabbing my stomach from laughing so hard. I mean, it's one thing to come back and win, but to come back and cover 6.5, I would have said no chance and you know what of that happening. And it did. If you had to point at one thing, and oh, by the way, Auburn wasn't even hitting their free throws till the very end,
right,
when it counted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had to put your finger on one thing that was the difference in that game, what was it?
Turnovers, okay, for Tennessee. They and a lot of that, even though Vescovi's turned the ball over, a lot of that is the rest, the entire team. Seems like that's something that a lot of times they can overcome when he's on the floor. And when he's not on the floor, the other guys are turning it over, but then there's no other plays on the other end to make up for. There's not the momentum plays. And a lot of that is Josiah Jordan James, who had an awful game. And since he came back from injury with his groin, he has not played well at all in the couple of games he has been back. And, you know, so then you have to put Jordan Bowden handling the ball when he's not, and that's not his best position. He can handle the ball, can't bring it up from time to time, but now you're having him run the offense, can't use him as much of a scoring option, and then just a lot of guys aren't in their best positions, and they're easier to defend when he is on the ball also. So, you know, Josiah Jordan James was supposed to be a guy that was, you know, as a five-star, would come in and be, you know, maybe even the starting point guard going into the year or early in the season. And for whatever reason, just hasn't felt comfortable. Barnes has brought up the fact that he had the injury that he's never really recovered from and had the setback during the year. And so they're really limited in the backcourt in what they're able to do. And when you're turning it over, and you're not getting scoring out of that position, James has been good on the boards for Tennessee, but man, they just don't have enough. And obviously, it's another highlight to them really missing Lamonte Turner and another ball handler. Another guy that could really help them isn't eligible this year, and that's the Oregon transfer and Victor Bailey. He's terrific in practice, looks really good, and you know he's a scoring threat too. And they can certainly use him, but you know those guys aren't there. So that there's just such a drop off there, and it changes so much. I think that was the biggest thing is the turnovers, especially when Vescovi's not on the floor.
Let's go on the premise the Vols are not getting in the NCAA tournament. I think that's a pretty safe thing to throw out there. That is going to be three times in the 5 years of Rick Barnes in Knoxville. What will be the temperature in the water in the offseason? What will be the talk in your market about Rick Barnes and the basketball team going into next year, in your opinion?
There'll be some. It depends on what end of the pool you're kind of, you know, dipping your toe in and checking out the temperature. You know, obviously there's going to be some that are going to be really upset. I mean, if they don't even make the NIT, which is in the discussion right now, then that's going to ramp things up even more. There's already people that feel like, you know, Rick Barnes isn't the guy that he's, you know, they point to the postseason because there's been this disappointments there with really talented rosters, and they'll probably feel like the same will be the case next year. And then there's others that are completely all in.
But he always went to the tournament in Texas. Always, right? Mm-hmm. I think he missed one time in all those years. I mean, 3 of 5 in Knoxville. I mean, that's, gosh. And this is a year that everybody's down.
I think this year, you know, is really the biggest one to judge him on. I mean, he took over a mess in his first couple of years.
Fair.
So I don't, you know, that he didn't have that kind of mess at Texas. So, and he was able to have his full roster. Where there can be some criticism is this year, because they had a number of players either not work out or leave the program, now you don't have the bigs, you don't have the guard depth, they don't have the depth, and whether that was preparation or bad luck or whatever, guys leaving early for the NBA, their roster isn't constructed to be able to withstand some of the losses that they've had. And, you know, and for some it's, hey, you should have been better prepared. You know, I don't know how much you can put on him for Grant Williams and Jordan Bone leaving early for the NBA. Did they know or should they have assumed that was going to happen? I don't know. Those are discussions that they had with those players to get a feel for whether they would go or not. And then, you know, guys leaving the program and not working out, I don't know that there's a bunch of those guys that have left that have been great elsewhere. So maybe go back to the recruiting of them and signing of them in the first place. So that's where I think you can kind of get into, all right, that's what's helped contribute to this year, to where you have some more frustration about this year. Turner, nothing you can do about. But the first couple of years with the mess and what they had to turn over, and because they had the vision long term, not quick fix like you see some other coaches have, where they can get good right away but then they can't sustain it and they fall back. This was a year where you had four guys leave for the NBA and you lost your best player to injury. That's a lot to overcome. They just weren't – they didn't have the bodies to withstand that this year. Next year, with all the talent coming in, even people that are griping are going to have to give them next year, and of course they will. Then if they underachieve with next year's roster, with guys getting experience this year with that group, get Bailey eligible, then if they still underachieve, then that's when – it's going to become widespread. Until then, I think most people support Barnes, but there are the vocal minority that are going to be frustrated by what's happened this year for various reasons.
Good stuff. More with Vince Ferrara on the other side, talking all things Vols here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Segment number two with Vince Ferrara, who I don't believe is going to be traded before the NHL trade deadline. We'll get back to that a lot here in the next coming segments here. By the way, Andreas Athanasiou turns out to
Bless
be the
you.
Next guy. Yeah, it looks like he's been traded to the Edmonton Oilers, which is another fast winger that would kind of fit the same general profile of guys like Craig Smith and Mikhail Granlund. So the plot is thick, and still don't know exactly what the Oilers gave up to get him. Of course, the Predators play the Oilers a week from tomorrow in a very, very important game in the playoff push. Four straight home games coming. So now let's turn our attention back to the Big Orange. And Vince, I saw the baseball team had a really nice weekend down in Texas.
Wow, very impressive. Beat Texas Tech, who is ranked number one in two of the million polls, as you well know, Ellie, in college baseball. But a team that won two games in the College World Series last year, they're a regular there, and you know, high expectations for this year's club, and ranked number one. Tennessee handled them and beat Stanford yesterday, who was ranked 25 in some of the polls. So, and another Houston team that was above 500, pretty decent team. So the level of competition elevated, and Tennessee still came through. And Tennessee has been just dominant in their games this year. They've outscored their opponents. Tennessee has this year 74-14 and getting off to the 7-0 start. And in the last two seasons in February games under Tony Vitello, Tennessee is 16-0. They've outscored their opponents 133-19 in 16 games. Now,
that's pretty good run differential, if my math is correct.
Now, that may be hard to believe, and trust me, I had to go back and recount this many times because I don't want to be wrong on it. The reason why it's only 19 and 16 games is last year they had six shutouts, and they only gave up one run in two of the other games in February and then three in the other. So they only gave up five all of last year and then the 14 this year in their seven games. So the bullpen has been fantastic. They have more arms. All the new guys that they've started have been excellent, and then their bullpen, like I mentioned, has been really good. They've got so many more options in terms of position players, like a Zach Daniels, who has been had a high strikeout rate his first couple of years, outfielder DH. I mean, he looks like a football player. He has that kind of body, sculpted. big-time talent, massive power. And he just puts on a show, MVP, but he hadn't been able to put it together yet in his Tennessee career in his first couple of years. And now he was the MVP of that Round Rock Classic. And he's doing what Tony Vitello told me going into the year. If he can lay off those borderline pitches and make better decisions on those, he's going to be tough. He's going to be really good and in the lineup and a big factor for them. And he has been in four games, hitting .353, hit in almost every game, tops in the club and in a bunch of different categories. So he's just a serious talent. And then all their JUCOs have come through and been really good. So really impressive, stepped up in competition. They five games this week, and you know, in a couple of weeks, it's crazy. Conference play will start. They get South Carolina out of the gate, and then they have Vandy and LSU early in the year. So we'll find out more about them. But I do think this is an improved team from even a year ago, where they were in the NCAA tournament and just below 500 in SEC play.
Let's move on to some of the Tennessee players trying to vie for the NFL draft. Where's the process like right now? What are you seeing in some of the mock drafts?
Well, the first group of players actually reported yesterday, arrived there for a lot of the early things, the registration and you know, the orientation and starting some interviews with teams. Yesterday it was tight ends, quarterbacks, and wideouts. I mean, three Tennessee players arrived yesterday, Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, and tight end Dominic Wood Anderson. Then today it's place kicker, special teams, offensive linemen, and running backs. There's nobody in that group. Then tomorrow arriving will be the D linemen and linebackers. That's where you'll see the other two of the five Tennessee players, and Daryl Taylor and Daniel Batuli. I've heard Daniel Jeremiah speak on Daryl Taylor and really talking about how explosive he is with his pass rush. We found out Daryl Taylor put out on social media that he played with a stress fracture this year, and then he had a procedure in the offseason that, you know, he is pretty much recovered from. So that's why he wasn't able to do you know, anything at the Senior Bowl. But you know, as far as I know, he's hoping to, you know, try you know, to be there and participate there at the combine. We'll find out. If he can't, you know, he can at least be there and do all the interviews and everything else, and maybe some of the measurables. So those are the five from Tennessee. I mean, there's some years where there's nobody there from Tennessee. So it's a better group. As far as the mocks go, Jeremiah mentioned that there could be some teams that look at him in the second round. Because he's dealt with some injuries, he feels like that might move him back a peg. There are going to be those that don't have Juwan Jennings on their board at all, and others that, you know, will have him on their board and think highly of him. I think those are the top two guys for the draft for Tennessee, potentially those two in day two. More than likely third round for those guys. The mock drafts that I've seen have had those guys there in that third round. The last one I saw from Chad Reuter in the NFL Network had Juwan Jennings 75 overall in the third round to the Indianapolis Colts, which I think would be a really nice fit regardless of who the quarterback is, because there's a big need there. And then Daryl Taylor, 80 to the Las Vegas Raiders. So, you know, those would be, and prior to that, I saw Jennings for the Buffalo Bills in the third round. There's a lot of teams that can use a wide receiver. So I think that's kind of the range for those guys, is going to be in the third round. But you never know if they perform well the combine. Callaway's a guy that I think can really benefit from great 40 time and showing out well in a lot of those measurables and the testing part of it. If he does that and hangs on to the football, I think he's a guy that can get back into the draftable conversation a little bit higher than what we've seen from the mock drafts so far.
Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, here with us. And speaking of football, Jeremy Pruitt did make some official announcements of the additions to his coaching staff. Jimmy Brumbaugh and Shelton Felton, what are they going to be doing for the Vols?
Well, I think the interesting part of that announcement, Chase, was that Brumbaugh, we knew that those were going to happen. what was interesting is the titles that they were announced with. Brumbaugh is not only going to be the defensive line coach, but he was listed as co-defensive coordinator. Now, I don't think he's calling defensive plays over Derek Ansley. I don't think that's the case. Chris basically filling the title that allows them to pay him maybe a little bit more or be able to bring him over from Colorado State. And that's a title that Chris Rump had last year, but I don't think Chris Rump was I know Chris Rump was, you know, not on equal footing with Anza. That's just something that you see in football just from a title standpoint. But that was noteworthy. And, you know, reports of what he's going to make is average about $325,000 a year. And then Sheldon Felton, who was a GA a couple of years ago at Tennessee before going on to Akron, and he's going to be the outside linebackers coach, and he'll make, I think, in the 220 range. So neither one of those guys is going to be super high paid, but they're young guys that are going to do, you know, and work as hard as Jeremy Pruitt wants them to. And what Pruitt talked about with both of those guys is relentless workers, good recruiters, and guys that connect with the players. And I think that's kind of the trend of what we saw in a lot of these offseason changes for Tennessee and the coaching staff, is they got younger. And maybe that's a, hey, guys that want to work 24/7 because that's what they want. And Tennessee did have a little bit older coaches, Rump and Rocker. Some of those guys were a little bit older. So now I think these guys are, you know, whatever Pruitt needs, whatever he wants in terms of work ethic. And there's a lot demanded by Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. These guys are going to be willing to do it. And you know, the big question is going to be, I think they'll recruit fine. Can they develop the players? Because that's something that especially Tracy Rocker, Chris Rump, did a good job of developing the players. You may lose that experience. You may gain the youthful energy, but are they going to be able to develop the players that you get at the same level that some of those veteran guys will, especially on defense? They only have four coaches, and they're all very young because Niemeyer moved to defense. Derek Ansley is still fairly young. And then you have the new guys in Brumbaugh and Felton. Those are the four coaches on defense. They have six on offense. And Pruitt is going to be on that side of the ball. So are they going to be able to just, hey, here's the system, teach it, and then it you see the results from it? And we'll see. So there's a little bit of a risk in putting the staff together, but Pruitt likes them, and we'll see how it plays out.
Is it true that back in the day when you were in Tuscaloosa, you were pursuing boxing in your next matches against Wilder, and you decided to get into radio? Is that true?
You know, it only took one right hand from Wilder. Now, I used to work out at his gym in Tuscaloosa with JD's, just doing personal training because they offered that, like they do in a lot of, as you know, Darren, and a lot of MMA gyms. They offer personal training in there, and I worked out in there, and it was a lot of fun. And then one time, JD's Wilder's coach said, "Hey, get in the ring with Deontay." I'm like, "What?" And he's like, he started laughing. He's like, "Don't worry about it. He won't punch back. He's just going to work on his defense." So put my gloves on, got in there, just looking up at the sky at Wilder because he's so tall. And they let me punch him. And it was like punching a wall, of course, because he's so rocked up. And he was coaching me through it. You go to the body, back upstairs, combo, good shot, you know, things like that. And he was just sitting there kind of coaching me through it while I had to punch Deontay Wilder. So it was neat. It was a good experience. Good story to tell that I've been in the ring with Deontay Wilder, and you know, thanking my lucky stars that he wasn't punching back, or else I probably wouldn't be here.
Oh yeah, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah,
no.
Unfortunately, we would be talking about your great conversations that you used to have with us. Remember when we used to talk with Vince on Mondays? We miss those days. Did you know, honestly, as we wrap this up back then, that he was – I mean, that was a while back. That had to have been at the beginning, right? Did you know that
Yes. This
guy was going to be to the level that he is today?
World champion, good no. And that's another thing that's been very frustrating is everyone now talking about, oh, he's exposed and he's just a joke. And just like – I guess, with Lamar Jackson, like Lamar Jackson this year, because they lost in the playoffs to the Titans, that it was like some farce what he did during the season. I mean, everyone has to go to the extreme. So that's been frustrating. No, he's done. He was a guy that a lot of people thought, including myself and people there, thought that he could be a factor as a very good heavyweight, but world champion, I'm not sure that was thought of. But, you know, he took advantage of there not being good enough heavyweights, and they didn't rush him through. So this is a long time ago, and they didn't rush him, which is why I think he was able to have the success and he sustained. A lot of people want to immediately go for a title shot, and then they get set back. This is his first setback many years into his career. But you could tell that he had potential to be a big time heavyweight, but world title, that was on a different level. I don't think we thought that quite at the time.
The man who has punched Deontay Wilder, Vince Ferrara, every Monday starting at noon with the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. Vinny, always appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll do it again next week.
All right, you guys do the same, and super excited about Nashville SC. Can't wait to get to the mid-state to check out a game. Really love the fact that they're on the highest level in America in soccer now.
Saturday it all begins at Nissan Stadium against Atlanta United. Vince Ferrara, good stuff from him as always. We will get you in tune with what's happened. NHL trade deadline, we're about an hour and a half away. There's been a lot of stuff swirling, some things that have happened. We'll get you caught up to speed. On the other side, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You want to hit the road with the Preds? They'll be in Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, March 14th, Nationwide Arena. The team they just played Saturday, they'll play at their place, Preds and Blue Jackets. Tickets are on sale now. To purchase, visit thegamenashville.com. The trip is organized by simplyafan.com. If you want to go to their website, also look for their other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. So keep that in mind for Saturday, March 14th. Had a couple Preds fans come in Barrel House on Saturday and say they have signed up. They're ready to rock and roll.
Well, they need to do it this week. Get it done. Don't wait.
Is Gina going?
From promotions?
Yeah.
She is not.
Oh, she did a video and she's not going?
Well, I don't know. She might be.
Speaking of that, did you
she
hear
She seemed
our,
so excited in the video.
Did you hear our breakdown of your acting job?
No.
On our broadcast? You didn't hear our broadcast on Friday? We mentioned
it. I
guys?
Watched it, but I didn't hear that part. When did you mention it?
Yeah.
We were promoting the Columbus trip.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so he referred to you as the constable. I said the station has been doing some interesting marketing of that trip. They did some Chris Mason-style videos, is what I said to Mace, as they were about to drop the puck. He goes, yeah, I saw the constable. I
mean, not quite the level of production
that's what
C-Mace gets, but, you know.
Well, I said we got to pick it up a little bit, but it's a good start.
It's a good start.
But we showed you the love on the broadcast. I can't believe you didn't.
I know.
I
knew that.
I'm sorry I missed it. I watched a majority of the broadcast, but there was a period in time when I was listening to Pete and Hal that I was in the car.
Nothing wrong with that.
So
nothing wrong with that.
Look, you all are my guys. I like to make sure I take it all in.
We may have been doing a little throwing back.
There may have been some of that.
There may.
Sources can confirm.
By the way,
what trades we got?
We had fun with Ekholm Saturday night. I said, can you confirm or deny that you were going to be ready once you got to double-digit rounds in the shootout? He said, I can deny. He goes, I don't know where I'm on the list. He goes, but I'm pretty far down. We had a good time with that. That's what started hatching the whole Hal on the bench for shootouts. He said
the taking the skates off story.
He said
was great.
He's like, my skates were untied and they were almost off my feet during a shootout.
But I love the gag where they go, Hal, get ready.
And the coach said, Hal, get ready. And he's
really?
Like,
what?
Are you serious? He turned around, looked at it, he's like, no, of course I'm not serious.
Not serious? No. Are you kidding?
Go back to doing whatever you were doing. All right, let's get everybody caught up on what's happened as we sit here about an hour and 20 minutes away from the NHL trading deadline.
Well, we're still waiting on what is going to happen, perhaps, with a big deal that would involve Zach Parise from the Minnesota Wild. They're still working on it, it appears. Both Zach Parise and Andrew Ladd, who is in the same category, but in that he has a lot of years left on his contract. But Andrew Ladd is of no value to the Islanders. He's one of those guys who signed a big deal, hasn't been worth it, and so they're trying to get rid of that contract to take on another contract that is burdensome from Zach Parise. So we'll keep an eye on that one to see if it comes down. The one that has gone down here in the last few minutes, Andreas Athanasiou says, see you later. I didn't lie. Did I do it?
That's
I did.
Good. That's good. No, I like it.
I did it, yeah. So he's gone from Detroit. Ken Holland, who was a longtime general manager for the Red Wings, is now in Edmonton trying to load up for Connor McDavid and company. Athanasiou is a very speedy, maybe one of the fastest wings in the league. 30 goals last year, hasn't been as good. He's an enigma, right? He can look great a couple of nights. He can break your heart defensively.
Kind of like the team he's leaving.
They're bad. That's a bad
worst team.
Worst
team in hockey.
So he comes over. In
they should get the first. They're so bad, they should get the first two picks. That's how bad they are.
If there was a way for them to do that, they would probably try. So they give up 2 second-round picks plus the veteran Sam Gagne, who's a well-traveled guy who will now get another uniform. Good, steady 30-year-old that has been a good secondary scorer over the course of his career. They also get a college free agent guy, Kuffner, in exchange. So 2 seconds for Athanasiou. Pretty good value. He's a restricted free agent. His career could go a number of different ways.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, I'm kind of keeping an eye on different things. There was a report Dallas.
Give the Calgary. Put what was said about Calgary and who left the ice.
Johnny Hockey.
But they're shooting that down. He's not going to be traded.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They've shot it down?
A lot of
Well, you say
people.
No way. Hasn't he been rumored all the time?
He has.
To be traded. Why would you say no way when I feel like he's rumored
I guess I shouldn't say
constantly
no way.
To be traded?
That would be a blockbuster if that happened.
Well, why is that always out there about him? I mean, if somebody who's no way, you would never hear that.
He hasn't had a great year, but I don't know how they could win without him. I don't know what they would get back. They're trying to get into the playoffs. So it would really surprise me at this point. I think he would be a guy in an off-season, draft day, summer kind of deal where you could see that happening. For people that may have been doing a lot of work this morning, haven't heard, Rocco Grimaldi signed a 2-year contract starting next year for the Predators. He was an unrestricted free agent going in, so he stays $2 million per year. So congratulations to Rocco. No other trades involving the Predators yet. Pekka Rinne missed practice today because of illness, and they had Mikael Granlund stay off the ice for what they said maintenance day. So that has everybody's eyebrows raised, speculating, wondering. His headshot is showing up on the rotation. We're watching the NHL Network, which is picking up the Sportsnet feed right now. And on the rotating guys, who's on the block, who's in play is the term they're using. They're saying Granlund in play, but we will wait and see if anything is actually done there. Nick Bonino also returns to practice today. He's missed the last two games with illness. There have been some pretty interesting trades. What is the biggest one to you, Darren? I don't want to list
there's
them
also
all here, but
Dallas is apparently hot and heavy after Joe Thornton, yeah. And he'd be willing to go there.
Why?
To run their power play.
No, I know. I'm saying he's pretty familiar with one guy, especially just like didn't he have the game winning goal over the weekend or big part of a goal? I mean, Pavelski.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean
that, there's obviously that relationship.
That's a good one.
You put him on the same team as Corey Perry too.
Yeah.
So
I'm not surprised by that. They also said that the Florida Panthers are like a kind of a distant second. for Joe Thornton services.
And then Zach Parise's name is out there as being moved to the Islanders as well. So
Chris Kreider re-ups for 7 more years, yep. $45.5 million.
JJ
to stay with the Rangers.
Peugeot is traded from Ottawa to the Islanders for a first, a second, and a conditional third. A big return for Ottawa. They also traded Vlad Nemestikov. So Ottawa will be down 2 veteran forwards when they play the Predators tomorrow. Ottawa also plays tonight. This is the they play Columbus tonight. So they're the only game going on in the league tonight. Columbus against Ottawa. So Ottawa will be depleted. They're a rebuilding team for sure.
Trocheck to the Hurricanes.
Big one there. For
Holla.
4 players. Holla.
That is a big one. By the way, Florida or Carolina and the Rangers also rumored to be talking about another deal.
Yeah, for Brady Shea, because yep. Carolina lost Brett Pesce, one of their linchpin defensemen, got hurt in the crazy game where the David Ayers came in and the emergency goalie won the game in Toronto. But they can't do much long term without Pesce. He's an important guy. So that might say something about that injury.
By the way, Ayers will be honored in the Carolina game tomorrow night in Raleigh.
Why not?
We'll come back and wrap up the third hour next, but I want to talk to you about the good folks at USS. United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company, as we get a lot of rain here in the next several days, that has been serving our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they have more than 18,000, let me repeat that, more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners, residential customers, people like me, and a lot of you out there listening. And if you've got bowing basement walls or standing water in a crawl space or musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation or ductwork, cracks in basement floors, all these things may have your house telling you something. Like, you need to get the experts out there. And you're wondering, why is my home wet? Well, maybe you've got poor drainage or surface water floods over walls or water that's seeping through walls. There's a lot of reasons, but the experts are the one who will come out, identify what's going on, and tell you, big deal, not a big deal. They believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and the integrity of their work. They'll give you a free estimate when they identify what's going on at your house. They're locally owned, they're licensed and insured, and as a homeowner, these things make me perk up. I hope if you're a homeowner, that makes you perk up as well. So if anything like this is going on at your house, pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275 to get the experts out to your house. You can always go online and look at their website, USSTN.com. As they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS. Hit the breaking news sounder, Elijah. We do have news in Calgary on why left winger Johnny Gaudreau left the ice. I quote, "I had to go pee." There you go.
That is fantastic.
He is not getting moved. It is confirmed that Johnny Hockey had to go pee, and that's why he left the ice.
Huge if true.
Well, it's his word. I mean, are you calling Johnny a liar?
You never know.
Johnny Hockey?
You calling Johnny Hockey a liar? Go say that in Calgary.
The quotes dare you. The quote tweets on this are hilarious. All the hockey insiders are going like, this is fantastic. Or New Jersey legend Johnny Gaudreau. That's funny.
But the question is, did he use the Larry David new urinal? The box? The box with the sliding
door. Sliding door? then it closes?
From Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's innovative.
Did you see the latest episode?
I didn't see last night's yet. I have it recorded.
The surprise party?
I'm playing catch up. I gotta watch that today. I will watch it today.
It's so, like
is it good?
At the end, like, there's always something ridiculous to end the show. And
course.
I always laugh and say, that's so stupid, it's funny. Like in every episode, I'm always like, that's so dumb. It's funny.
It's consistently like that, too. It's literally, like you said, every episode.
Like, it's always some ridiculous ending. Some over-dramatic acting on some pointless thing. But it's always, like I said, it's so stupid, it's funny.
And Larry's always the recipient of it. He's always the one on the wrong end of the overacting or the overreacting.
No question. No, I don't want to tell you what it is because you said you haven't seen it.
I'll catch up.
It's not like that would spoil anything, but it's just, it's funny. You'll know what I'm talking about when you see it.
All right. J.G. Pajot, as has been speculated, got traded to the Islanders. They gave up a bunch to get him. The idea was he was open to signing a trade or contract extension, and indeed, the Islanders have inked Pajot to a 6-year contract, $5 million per year. Now, he's a good player. That's a big commitment. It reminds me a lot. It's the Kyle Turris, right? Signing a guy big time before he's ever played a game for you. Not unlike you would do for a free agent, right? But they just gave up a lot to get him. Big move by the Islanders there.
And, I mean, look, if you believe everything you read, they may not be done. So.
That's right. So there's still that out there. Can they pull off a deal for Parisi?
And keep this
in mind. Andrew Ladd is the key guy. They've got to get rid of his contract if they're going to pull this off.
The most trade that's happened so far is Wayne Simmonds to the Sabres.
That is. Well, we know who. Wayne Simmonds, for sure, but... Why would the Sabres...
A conditional fifth-round pick?
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Have you seen the GIF with Chappelle? The That's what I think of. Come again? Simmonds to Buffalo for a fifth-round pick?
I mean, it's a fifth-round pick.
And New Jersey's eating 50% of the...
Yeah, so I guess if you're the Sabres, it's not a big price to pay. You get them for half price.
But what are they doing? Like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
Maybe
they want him. I guess they want him beyond this year. I mean, their chances of making the playoffs are 5%.
You think they made that trade to say, yep, that's who we're going to re-sign?
I don't know.
No.
He got a no-trade clause.
Pajot.
That is. Who? What?
Marlowe to the Penguins. He is 48, and he's been traded to Pittsburgh for a 2021 conditional third-round pick. Derek Grant to the Flyers. Flyers also get Nate Thompson. I just think it's really interesting. Avalanche get goaltender Michael Hutchinson. What's interesting is all these Eastern teams loading up when East is so
it's tight,
wide open and crazy tight. You could make a case for a lot of teams making a deep run, right? You could. And so there, you know, there's going to be winners and losers in all these trades.
Yeah, I think,
and
all,
I'm curious to see who's going to be the losers.
I think people rationalize in the East, all 8 teams that make it, whichever 8 they are, will have a chance. They'll feel like they have a chance to make a deep run. Now you got to beat some. You got to beat some big dogs: Tampa Bay, Boston.
Capitals, Penguins,
Washington,
Islanders.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, everybody's bringing something to the table. That is going to be a great tournament.
Avalanche also get Namestnikov. Let's see. That was a conditional or fourth-round pick in 2021.
There's one that...
Oilers get Mike Green from Detroit.
Yeah, a skilled defenseman.
Flames
not a great defensive defenseman, but a guy that could... help even more. Not that they need much help on their power play. Chase, I know you just saw what I think I just saw.
Derek Forbort.
Yeah.
Goes to the Flames from the Kings. So
I'm curious to
trade another defenseman.
What that costs the Flames. So Forbort is an extra defenseman. Remember, the Flames are dealing without Mark Giordano, their captain, great defenseman. So added depth for them. Forbort's a pretty good player.
Looks like the Senators have sent Tyler Ennis to Edmonton for a fifth.
Who's Ottawa's minor league team? I'm trying to get the roster correct for tomorrow night's game.
Good luck with that.
I was doing that a lot for Columbus's roster.
I know.
There was a lot of guys I had heard of before.
There was a lot of the movie Major League. I was looking at it going, who are these guys?
That guy's dead.
We'll cross him off the list. All right, we'll come back. Fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.